But looking forward to Wimbledon kicking off tonight. Nine men as far as the Aussies are concerned, and also six women. The top Australian is seated is Alex de Minaur at 19. Looking forward to Wimbledon as we do each and every year, albeit with a bit of a different flavour this year. In fact, they're not playing for rankings points, but the prize money has increased. To talk about that and many more, it's always wonderful to have on the Big Sports Breakfast, Roger Rashid. Good morning, Roger.
Morning, guys. How are you guys doing after your men thumped Queensland?
Yeah, it was an impressive effort by New South Wales, absolutely, last night. So it sets up for a mouth-watering Game 3. But looking forward to Wimbledon, just as I mentioned, obviously, with the no rankings points, what do you think of the quality of the field, really, Roger? It's not too bad, considering that a lot of players maybe would have been within their rights not to, to take on Wimbledon.
Yeah, look, I think points are no points. When you've got a major, I think of any sporting event around the world in any code, players want to be around it and they want to play it. And there's so the history of the sport is attached to major championships. The biggest moments are attached to major championships. And it was a decision Wimbledon made. So that was their call, and the players, you know, then had a choice to make whether they wanted to play Wimbledon or not, and it looked hands down every player. Regardless, there were a couple of players that decided not to play the event, and they were players that were on the cusp of a ranking. Their ranking was there was a guided area of their ranking where if they played another tournament during this time, a lower ranked tournament, and they got some points, it might help them with their ranking. And so they decided to go those way. But the big name players, they want to be there. They want to be around the vibe of Wimbledon. Nothing will change as far as that. It'll be very authentic, and really looking forward to what's going to play out in the next 2 weeks.
So there's no asterisks on this one, Roger. If you hold up the winner's trophy, it's not going to be an asterisk on this one at all.
No, people may talk it that way, but I think from a player's perspective, no, it won't. There's Look, Nadal, who was well in his rights, who after Paris of not turning up here and playing, he was a little bit sore. He's got himself right, got back on the grass courts as soon as possible, and he's here. Novak's obviously here. He hasn't lost here, lost at Wimbledon since 2017, six-time champion. So Serena turns up out of nowhere and has put a name hat in the ring for another title, seven-time champion there, and looking for her 24th major. I think everyone's really excited, and I think that's the way it should be as well. The only downside is that Novak will lose his number one ranking after this event, regardless of if he wins or not, because he's defending 2,000 points. And we're on a 12-month cycle in tennis, and so 2,000 points will drop off his ranking, and I think it will sit him around 7th or 8th in the world, which is obviously not his current standing.
Rog, one of the Australian women that have qualified to place in Wimbledon is Zoe Hives, and she has just battled so many health conditions and injuries throughout her career, in particular a blood circulation disorder, and she plays 5th seed Maria Sakkari in the first round, so a tough first opponent. But how do you think she's going to go?
Yeah, look, I don't know a lot about Zoe, to be perfectly honest, but I have read her story, and what a great for her also to actually turn up and go to Roehampton, which is the qualifying courts, and actually get out there and qualify. And she got obviously a little lucky with Priscilla Hahn, who's another Australian. They were meant to go head-to-head in the last round, and Priscilla had food poisoning in the morning, so she pulled out of that, which gave Zoe an entry into Wimbledon. But well-earned, and what a story for her, to obviously go through the cycle of being an athlete overseas as well, trying to make it overseas, away from your home base, and to have, obviously she's got some conditions that are attached to her journey. Incredible. She gets to play one of the favourites from Greece, Sakkari, who's the number 5 seed, really big ball striker. It'll be a tough ask, but what an experience. Mm. So go out there, put a smile on your face, really enjoy every moment of it, because she'll be on a big show court, and it will be one of her dreams, I think, to step on the courts of Wimbledon.
Staying with the women, Swiatek has been outstanding, 35 on the trot. How does she go on grass?
Well, she goes pretty well. She's got an all court game, and I think when you look at grass, and as we may have done in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s, where you could actually serve and volley, you know, you got a lot of reward from a grass court as far as what the bounce might do. It might skid through a bit. These courts now, because the players play off the back of the court, they're a bit thicker in the way they're presented at the start, because you've got to nurture them and save the baselines, I guess, throughout the course of the 2 weeks. So you see a lot of baseline rallies. The court surface is quite slow, but it does have the nuances of a grass court where the ball can slide away depending on what type of spin you put on the ball, and you can come to net and get rewarded. And your footing, it takes a bit of time to get used to your footing on the grass court. You need to take those little short adjustment step versus long striding steps that you can on a hard court or on a clay court as well. So Swiatek, when you look at all that, she plays all this type. She's very adaptable. So I think you've got to be favourite. 35 match wins in a row. You know, she's fourth round in 2021, and she, you know, who she lost to, Onzuber, who from Tunisian, who's she's one of the favourites. There's no doubt about that. She's won her grass court title in Berlin 2 weeks ago. So her 2021 result wasn't a bad result for Swiatek, but I think she's definitely the favourite here, and I wouldn't be surprised to see her hold up the trophy.
And we'll get to the men's in just a moment, but obviously Serena Williams, the biggest name in women's tennis. She's taken a lot of time away from the game, but eyeing off that chance to equal Margaret Court's record of 24 Grand Slams, where's her game at? Can we expect to see that famous name up in lights again, or is she, you know, she's probably a light of other days as far as her best form is concerned?
Yeah, probably the latter, because you've got to have, regardless of what sport you play, you need a volume of work, don't you? You need a volume of time on the court. You need to be tucked into these tight matches where you've got to serve them out and come through some break points with big serves or big returns or whatever it is. So to not have put you in that, yourself in that space and just turn up to Wimbledon. Yes, she's got game, which gives her a lot of free points. She's got a world class, but do you have the legitimate all round body conditioning, mentally, physically, match play? Probably not. So, you know, you turn up, you know, it looks like her first round's not a bad first rounder, playing Harmony Tan from France. I think, you know, it's a big chance for Serena to get things off to a flying start. And then you sort of never know. When you're a seven-time champion, you've been there, you've got a lot to draw on. And, you know, it would be great to see her get on a bit of a run. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, the quality of the opposition now is so deep, and it's a really tough game to play if you haven't spent time on the court. But really good to see Serena out there. And who knows how many times we'll see her. Will this be her swan song? Is this her saying goodbye? I don't think so. I think we'll see her again, but it may be saying goodbye to Wimbledon.
Rog, what about Nick Kyrgios? He's been playing some pretty good tennis recently, and he said in a Fox Sports article today that he's vowing to continue to make top 10 players look ordinary, and that when he's feeling confident and he's playing well, he can just kind of light up whatever he wants.
Yeah, nice choice of words, ordinary, for a top 10 player.
Yeah, exactly.
but, Nick throws it all out there, and look, when he says that, I guess what he means is that, you know, he has beaten all the best players in the world. He had beaten the four big ones, Rafa, Roger, Novak, and Andy Murray. So he's, you know, he can do the damage on these courts. We know he's got all the weapons. His game goes so beautifully onto a grass court, and most courts really, but grass court definitely. He's got so many weapons that he's going to be dangerous. There's no doubt about that. So he gets off to a flyer really against a British qualifier. You know, the crowd will be not on his side, but he'll like the entertainment value of that, I think, as well. And yeah, he will be dangerous. It's always a wait and see, isn't it? Wait and see what happens, and wait and see he falls in his road in the next few rounds as well, and see how he gets through that group. But you know, we've got a lot of Australians out there playing, and they've got, you know, they've got great opportunities, and Duckworth is one of them on the first, on day one. We have four men and four women on day one, but he's James Duckworth's probably got the pick of the match as he plays Andy Murray on centre court, the 100th year of centre court at Wimbledon. Novak Djokovic will open the proceedings on day one, which is always a magic moment at the championships, and Swiatek will open it on day two. But James Duckworth gets to go out there against Andy Murray in the last match of the day, which is always a bit of a feature, and he'll get to strut his stuff out there. And he's not without a chance as well. Andy's, you know, obviously he's picked up his form, but he's not the Andy Murray of old. So there's an opportunity for Ducks.
Yes, sir. Andy Murray with the titanium hip. There's lots of chat about Novak Djokovic, probably for the different reasons rather than playing tennis. He's going to obviously goes in at number one. What about our old mate, Rafa Nadal? Third straight Grand Slam. Where is he placed and how is his body holding up in the rigours of playing? Because it's so good to see him, you know, back on the court and doing so well.
Well, he'd be good on any front row or second row, wouldn't he?
Leading the charge, absolutely.
I reckon you'd put him on anywhere. But look, he's, one thing with Rafa is that when he turns up, he's only turning up to win the title.
Yep.
He's not turning up to, hopefully I can get through to the second week and put up a good showing. I think when you're the greats of the game and these guys, they turn up to win the event. If his body, he didn't think was right to actually get through the seven matches on grass. He hasn't won here for a while, obviously, but he's, you know, he was quick on the grass course. He does adapt. Everyone talks about, oh, how quickly can he adapt his game? Well, as I said, you can play basketball tennis off the back of the court these days, so it does allow you to play yourself in. Mm. He's actually an outstanding net player. You wouldn't think of that. You would think of Federer, then you might think of Novak behind him, but Rafa's an outstanding tennis player at the front of the court as well at the net. So, look, his first couple of rounds look pretty comfortable for me, and then there potentially is a fourth round against Marin Cilic, who's been at the final of Wimbledon and also been a Grand Slam champion at the US Open. So that may be his first tricky match, but I feel like Rafa will get to the second week, and then from there, who knows? But Novak is definitely a clear favourite on grass without Roger around. Obviously, we're not sure when Roger will make his way back to the courts. Berrettini, who I think's who's probably the third favourite behind Novak and Rafa. And he's had 9 weeks out, but he came out and won Stuttgart and Queens. They're probably my top three for the men's, but Novak's definitely a clear favourite.
Yeah. So, Roger, how does the 2 weeks look for the Aussies? Seedings would suggest that Alex de Minaur is our best hope. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it is. And his first round looks comfortable as well. Which is good. You always want to get off to a play a match where you've got a comfortable first round opponent. I don't think he'll get too many problems with his first round opponent. Kokkinakis gets an opportunity to get a, you know, if he gets a win on the ball, which I think he will. He plays a Polish player, and he then gets a chance to play Novak. So that'd be a centre court one match. John Millman plays a 30th seed from Serbia. So, you know, that's going to be tough. John's really sort of battling to find some real true consistency in his form of late. And obviously, he's been out there for a long time. And, I guess the spotlight will be on Nick at the end of the day as well, Alex and Nick. And then when you look on the girls, on the women's side of things, we've got Arla Tomljanović, who's up against the 18th seed, Jill Teichmann from Switzerland. So I think that's going to be it's an opportunity for her because she does drive the ball hard through the court. She's got an opportunity in that match. You wouldn't sell her out in that tennis match. And I'm looking forward to watching Daria Seville play, or Gavrilova, who's now married to Luke Seville. She's put herself back in the top 100, really feisty. She's really a top 40, top 50 player. Looking forward to seeing what she does out there on the courts of Wimbledon.
Looking forward to Wimbledon. It all gets underway tonight. And Roger, looking forward to talking to you over the next couple of weeks.
Thanks, guys. Should be a fascinating fortnight.